Years after we thought typewriters became obsolete, an exhibition reveals they still have their charms. Typoetry, poems, images, and typewriters is currently up through May 3rd at the Joe McCauley Gallery. Gallery coordinator Danelle Dvorak teamed up with English professor Kathy Gilbert and students and design interns in marketing Brianne Penn and Quinny Calvert to put together the show. Dvorak said they wanted to highlight something different in the gallery, something interactive, something that celebrates being creative, and poetry and typewriters seemed like a natural combination to spark something new.
I'm an artist, but also a reader. I love poems, the shapes of poems, and then also the addition of having them typewritten by the actual poet makes them very singular objects, so I get a big kick out of that.
Kathy, why did you want to be a part of this?
I think it's a great idea. I teach creative writing here. Poetry is my wheelhouse, and I love to talk to students about ekphrastic poetry, for one, which is poetry that is inspired by the visual arts. And so it seemed like a really interesting concept to then look at the poems themselves as visual art on their own without the presence of an actual piece of art or sculpture or photography. And certainly poems do take a shape on the page, and they become art, right? Especially when we type them on the typewriter. So I was intrigued by the idea, and I was happy to be part of the project.
And along with Kathy, Jennifer Pawkin is also a co-curator. Mm-hmm. So they solicited poems from any employee at Heartland, and then they curated the selection of poems, and they really based that on the feel of the poems, the shapes of the poems, giving it really kind of like a pre-curatorial poetic selection. It's really a show that we, you know, checked, Googled. We didn't really find anything that's kind of quite like this. So I think that's part of the draw for students, and also the what is a typewriter and how do they work?
Yeah, I'm very curious how you guys even, do either of you have any experience with typewriters at all?
Well, before this show, I really didn't, because I'm just a digital kid, like most other people my age. But I was really excited to come in and try something new, because I love vintage things, and it's a nice gateway into the past, but also bringing it back into the present.
Growing up, I had a typewriter. It wasn't a very old typewriter, because it was automatic and not manual. So I was interested in learning how to, you know, set margins and stuff on the manual typewriter. And I always loved my typewriter growing up. Like, I would do like little fake newspapers every day for my parents. So, you know, it was something that I thought connected back to my childhood. And I just really liked the aesthetic of the typewriter and the words typed on the page.
What about the noise of the typewriter? Not quite what you guys are used to.
Right. I love the cadence. There's that auditory feedback that you get, unlike with a keyboard. On a computer, everything's quiet, unless you get a notification or a ding. But with the typewriter, you're more immersed, and you really have to think about what you're typing before you put it on the paper, or else you'll make a mistake, of course. So there's a better relationship between you and the piece you're writing.
Okay, let's talk about making mistakes and making typos and that sort of thing. Do they alter the trajectory of a poem when you make a typo? Do you stop and say, oops, now I have to start over, or do you keep going and you think, okay, well, now it's a part of it?
As the poets came in to type, the changes between how they would lay their poem out versus here you are with a Word document, here you are now, it's a different experience because spacing, the shape, the typewriters. You can tell some authors are a little more fluent with their manual typewriting skills, whereas others, I would say almost a dance like the piano, where it gets fainter and then deeper.
I think it also depends on the poet's personality. I know some of my colleagues who were in here on their fifth or sixth or seventh try to get their poem looking perfect, especially people who have really interesting, the ones that have the space in the middle of the page, there was a lot of math they had to figure out to get that to work. But I have other colleagues who made the mistakes part of the poem, letting them be or just typing over them so you could see part of the process. And then one of my colleagues was really pounding the keys hard, and there actually are holes in the page because he was hitting the O's so hard. So it just sort of depends on the person. I know that when I was typing my own poems, some typos I thought were admissible and could be part of the poem and actually did something interesting, but other ones I decided weren't as great, and so I'd start over.
Well, how does the physicality of typing on what I consider compared to a a laptop, something that's a bit of a behemoth. I learned how to type on a manual typewriter that took dexterity and strength. I mean, you really have to put some energy into it. How does that impact the creative process?
I think Quinny said it really well. It creates this new relationship, or reestablish an older relationship between what you're thinking about and how it comes out through your hands. Margaret Atwood writes a lot about hands, and a lot about hands and writing, and this act of the thought traveling down through your arm through to your hand. I actually write most of my stuff for the first time with a pen before I ever come to a computer, my poetry at least, because I feel like something happens physically between your brain and your hand. And so to use a manual typewriter and to have that sound that comes back at you and to feel the hits on the page and the keys really working underneath you, it really does add to the experience and create a new dialogue between your brain and your hand and the creative process that you're trying to do.
Why did you guys decide to have a community response wall? Because you have a typewriter set up in here with some paper and such, and there's even a wastebasket next to it where I see some people have tossed out some attempts. So why the community response wall?
I think that goes hand in hand that we're a community college. So we want conversations, contributions, and beyond people who are studying here or working here, we've actually had a couple of contributions from local artists. So we have Lisa Lofgren, a printmaker, who often, well, ink and paper as a printmaker, she's definitely duck to water with anything involving ink and paper. And she often uses poems as inspiration or part of the content of her work. And she just put in a stunner.
Oh, wow.
This week.
Describe this to us.
This is a small scale square print with image and text. And I am not positive if this is her own poetry or if this is actually something that she collaborated with someone. But just a really lovely, strong print visual work of art in and of itself.
The interesting thing about typewriters, less so with laptops, is you kind of had to be mechanical in order to use them. You had to switch out the ribbon. You sometimes had to switch out some of the keys. I would always get the keys entangled if I ended up flying too fast on there. So how does being invested in that mechanical aspect of writing a poem with a typewriter, how does that impact creativity?
I think it makes it more communal. I can't tell you how many emails I got from people having trouble with the typewriter. It's jammed, it's stuck, something happened, I'm not sure what to do, I can't get the margin right. And I am no expert. It's not my typewriter, it's my co-curator's typewriter, Jennifer Pocken. So I would often refer things to her. One time I was down here typing and got confused about a margin issue and I had to call one of my colleagues who used to do a lot with typewriters down to help. So it created this village aspect to the whole thing because people are so unused to working with that machine that they had to ask for help quite a bit more.
Has working with the typewriters, do you feel, juiced up your creativity?
Definitely. I think going back to history and antiques and looking at the process of where we came from in the beginning has inspired me to step forward as an artist and designer and try to contribute to what I've learned here and to future projects later.
Kathy, could we take a look at your contribution to this? Because I know there's an interesting story behind this. So you're up against the back wall.
I am.
And this has something to do with the La Brea Tar Pits.
I've been working on and finally finished a poetry manuscript involving my family history and the La Brea Tar Pits in California. My great-grandfather, J.Z. Gilbert, was among the first to excavate the La Brea Tar Pits in the early 1900s. After my father passed away and I found a suitcase full of actual fossils, actual bones from the tar pits under his bed, I decided I wanted to know a little bit more about my family history. So I found these old photos and I've been doing research, and of course I went to La Brea and cleaned fossils in the lab and excavated a bit, and I've been writing poems sort of based on both family history and science and La Brea and paleontology and all those things combined, and this sort of theme of loss, because it's all about, you know, things dying and old stuff.
So can we hear the poem about La Brea?
Sure. I have one here that's based on this old photo of nursing students putting together a giant ground sloth. Here's class of girls reconstruct giant ground sloth. We'd rather be digging, hands black from the pits. Never mind the heat or the mess, give us discovery. Each protuberance only the tip of the skeletal iceberg. Another tooth or a rib bone, a skull or a monster's heavy pelvis. Reconstruction is nothing compared to the divinity of the find. Give us black tar and trapped bone. Give us revelation, sweat, and hope. We wish to know this thing, pet its fur, put our faces to his, nose to nose. Imagine the unique brown of its coat, the yellow of its claws and teeth. How long its tongue, how wide its gait. Oh, to sit on the branch this creature stands under, see it take a leaf, watch its mouth as it chews. Oh, to see this mandible in action, to feel like God looking down on creation. Oh, power. We are asked to pull this creature from the heap and put him together, our own wombs still quiet. Our hands lightly wrap around each fossil, old and brown. They warm beneath the palm, this remnant of life once given, then slowly taken away. It is exhumed, wiped clean, and we place legs in proper sockets, vertebrae aligned just so. As if being whole again is better than the piecemeal comfort of Mother Earth's black belly. We are made of this same stuff, the structure smaller, but just as doomed to lose its fleshy casing. Someday, when we wrap a bandage round the leg of a patient and hear his tale of wounds, of blood and bone, bullets and bombs, we'll know his insides and his end.
That's Kathy Gilbert, Danelle Dvorak, Brianne Penn, and Quinny Calvert. Typoetry, Poems, Images, and Typewriters runs through May 3rd at the Joe McCauley Gallery at Heartland Community College. I'm Laura Kennedy.